Frantic calls, a police report, 24-year-old missing young woman, parents' heartache, search parties, prayer meetings, empty arms, then a shallow grave. Heartache turns to heartbreak. How could this ever be Brianna's hope? Listen today at Story Mosaics. I'm Keith Wooden, and welcome to Story Mosaics. I'm sitting across from a friend of mine. We've had several opportunities to talk, and what's interesting, Randy, is that you and I are cut from the same cloth. We just didn't know it, did we?
We've got a lot of similarities we found out since our conversations have begun.
Yes, a lot of roots there that are similar, and even just today found out how closely we were ministering together, because you were a pastor for a period of time, correct?
I think about 35 years, and I continue to fill in and get many phone calls.
Oh, and can I say this, is that I think here's another way we're cut out of the same cloth, is that I'm having trouble retiring, okay? I stepped out of the active ministry week to week and then stepped into this podcast, and I have to admit, I like the podcast rhythm a lot.
I understand that totally. I'm fighting that same battle, but I'm pretty well surrendered to it. I'm just doing it.
Now, how did you get into podcasts?
Wow, that's a good one. I had never even listened to a podcast. I had no idea. I knew what they were about, but not the intricacies. And through a friend who introduced me to Eric here at the Christian Center, who went ahead and we conversed, I got some ideas. We decided, why not? Let's give it a try. We've all got a story, and it's worth hearing.
You're singing my song now, brother, because that's what Story Mosaics is all about. We all have a story. And in fact, you know, when our stories come together, we create community, we create unity, we just... our lives start to intertwine there, and it's so important for us just to share our stories with one another and to be listeners and tellers on both sides of that. Well, you also have a story that really clinches the heart, and boy, Randy, it goes in so many different ways, because the first time I heard it, it broke my heart, because it revolved around a 24-year-old young lady who lost her life in her battle with addiction. Can you help me out with this story of Brianna?
You know, as far as my involvement with it goes, it was June 16 of 2014 that a young lady disappeared in our community. And it was 10 weeks later before her body was discovered. Oh, she was deceased. She had been trashed, literally trashed, taken to an abandoned cemetery, her body covered over with brush, and was in the elements there in the Randolph County area.
For
10 weeks, her parents, her family, nobody knew. They had pleas out of, you know, if you've seen her or heard or you know anything, yes, please let us know. But for 10 weeks, nobody knew until her body was located.
I cannot imagine the anguish of a parent in this, because, you know, even facing the lostness or the unknown. But then after 10 weeks to find this, and to find the most gruesome of circumstances there, because it wasn't just finding her in a cared for position or anything like this. This was an environment of, like you said, you use the term trash, and that's, it is revolting to even think of that, but that's how she was abandoned.
She was thrown out and discarded, covered over with brush. I don't know all the psychology behind that, what it means, but I know that's not the way you do it when a friend or a loved one or even an enemy passes in your presence. We don't know how her passing came about. She was last seen on a Friday night, and she told her dad she'd be back, and that was the last the family saw of her. And she had attended a party. When the body was located, she was in the same clothes that she was in when she left home. So they believe it was that night, and that's the date they use.
But Brianna, though, very popular in the school growing up, very, very well-loved and well-liked.
Homecoming queen candidate.
Oh, my goodness.
She made good grades. She was an aspiring dress designer. She had a lot going for her, but at the junior high age, she got into some stuff that turned her life around. When I say stuff, I mean drugs. And by the time she graduated high school, there wasn't anything she hadn't used. And by her death, she's a full-blown heroin addict. The family's given me full and total permission to share all these things, so folks don't think that, you know, I'm being offensive to them in any way.
Well, especially, Randy, the reason why they've given you full opportunity to share this story in such detail is because they don't want this mindless, senseless death to go, if I can say this, unredeemed.
No, I think that fits perfectly. Plus, they don't want any other parent to go through what they went through. Brianna's mother attended the church where I was at, or started attending during that time, and each Sunday, understandably so, was just an emotional wreck.
Yes.
But not knowing where your child is, yes, if you're ever going to see him again, or how you're going to find him, it was beyond my ability to comprehend or relate to.
You know, there's something in this story, as I've heard it and as I've related to it, that it had touched you on a personal level as well. Not just, I know what it's like to minister to families, and we can be touched deeply. But there are some situations that go beyond just the ministry to a family. They touch us on a personal level. Why did this particular instance, this child, touch you so deeply?
You know, you ask me that question, I feel myself getting spirit chills because I go back to that time when we first heard it. Number one, from a distance, it was only a face. Pardon me. To many in the community, only
yes,
another addict who had lost their life. And I was tired of that spirit. I was tired of that attitude our community had. But to put a face on addiction, she was on the front page of the Muncie Star 3 times.
Wow.
With her picture. And so it's pretty hard to deny you've got a drug issue in your community. And having had connections with her family through my wife, who had taught one or two of the members, ended up teaching more, having known Brianna's grandmother, yes, having been to the jail to visit Brianna twice upon her mom's request, you know, it just hit my heart. Her age, her innocence. Yeah, an addict can be innocent. And the look that we were taking, to me, that's not what it's about. And that wasn't going to make any difference.
You know, one of the things you mentioned, and as long as it's just a face, or it's just a number, or it's outside of our reach, it doesn't touch us. But then there's that moment when it reaches right across the table and grabs us and says, this is a daughter of a mother and dad. This is a child in our community. Then it becomes very real. And then you said something very interesting, because for a long time, there has been this effective denial that if we can keep things far enough from away from us, then we don't have to deal
with it. It's not real.
It's not real. And in fact, we anesthetize ourselves against it. We have grown numb to the reports, and then we hide it away. Do you experience that in the ministry that grew out of Brianna's death?
Absolutely. It continues. I don't believe it's bad as it was.
I don't think
so. I believe we are moving forward. It may be a very slow rate, but I'm thankful for the forward progress that we're seeing.
Sure.
And that we're recognizing individuals who battle with addiction as real people. People worthy of our love, our concern, our support.
Now, I kind of jumped the gun a little bit because I said that there was a ministry that grew out of this, and maybe it's inappropriate to call it a ministry. It certainly touches and changes lives, so I'll let you deal with the nomenclature of it, and I'll just tag along behind you. But there was something called Brianna's Hope that grew out of this. Can you tell me a little bit about Brandon's Hope?
I'd love to, and I don't care what we label it. We call it a ministry, a support, a recovery movement. I don't care what we call it as long as we know it's there, okay?
That is so fantastic, Randy.
We want to be able to help those who are struggling. But it began back June 16 of 2014. Our first meeting was November 5 of 2014. We just turned 10 years old.
Just recently.
Yeah, just a matter of weeks ago. And we celebrated that. And some of the family was present for the celebration because it's given a positive twist to a horribly negative situation and circumstance. But we began in Red Key, Indiana. We're now in 42. We have 42 different chapters, four in Ohio. The other 38 are in about 27, 28 counties in Indiana.
Wow.
We're involved in churches mainly. We have some outside churches, but we have like 17 different denominations involved.
That is a breakthrough
there. Oh, my goodness. I always say I will challenge you to go to a city the size of Fort Wayne, Indianapolis, or your own Chicago and find 17 denominations that can come together.
That will work together with one cause.
Absolutely. And that's what it's been about.
Now, you became kind of the spearhead for this, though. You became a voice behind it. How is that?
It was a heartfelt thing and a God-led thing. Simple as that. And that, you know, almost brushes it off, but this was not in my plan. I planned retirement. I planned putting a rear end at a Lazy Boy, okay? And that didn't work so well.
No, it sure didn't.
But after getting involved with this, I may not have a lot of skills, but I can care as much as anybody can.
Can I tell you a little brief story? Because sure. A while back, I had the chance to interview you for your podcast, okay? And so this is a little bit different. You're coming on for me to interview you for the podcast that we have with Story Mosaics. But you walked in the room, and you were all about getting things organized, and there was not a lot of energy to it. You know, it was just going through the day. But as soon as we started talking about this ministry, I told this to Eric afterwards, all of a sudden you lit up and the next 35 minutes were just hot because you were on fire for the cause. I loved what you said one time because I asked you about whether it was a 12-step program and you said, I'm not going to call it a 12. It doesn't matter how many steps it takes you. We're just walking towards recovery.
Exactly.
I love
that. And we're not a 12-step program per se.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We'll take as many steps with you as it takes to get you where you're trying to get.
Well, Randy, out of her life and her untimely death and the sorrow that gripped a community, this was born. And there's really an anchor verse that speaks to this because let's just cast the net a little broader for a moment, okay? Because there is despair that is sown into our community and into our world today like never before. I don't think we've been here in a very, very long time, maybe ever since the Depression, where there's a despair. And we then know that despair is not erased by the economy or our ability to have lots of money or any of those things or to have the luxuries of life. Despair goes to the very heart of an issue. Out of her brokenness, her death, something emerged that brought life. What was that anchor verse that really began to mean something?
We've used this from the beginning. It's Genesis 50. Verse 11, this is the Davis translation. Please understand
that. I love it.
But it says that what you meant for evil, God will use for good. And he'll do so by the saving of lives. And we believe we've been able to touch change and save lives spiritually, physically, and that indeed we've made a difference. But understand, when I say we have, God's the leader in all of that.
Amen.
So we get our strength from him.
You know, because somebody was responsible for this. It's never been solved.
Correct.
We don't know who put her body there. To be ravaged by animals that actually just destroyed her body. Am I correct in this?
Yes, you are. There's quite a bit of dismemberment.
Oh.
And parts have not been found to this day, body parts.
And so we can talk about the evilness of mankind in this, that someone meant this for evil and has been unwilling to step forward and own up and claim responsibility for this. So there's that evilness, that someone intended it for evil. But then we need to broaden that perspective a little bit, because the evil one, it says he's preying on us. He's walking. Can I do a little wooden translation here as well? Okay. But he's preying on us like a lion ravaging and looking for a weakness, a way to get in. And what this verse tells me is, wait, what he intends for evil, what people intend for evil, what this person intended for evil, God is going to redeem it, to change it, to create hope in the middle of it. When I first saw the name Brianna's Hope, it was on a little Methodist church that I was driving by, and it had a sign out front. And it wasn't that long ago, probably about 7 years ago, that I saw my first sign of this. And I thought, I want to know what this hope is. Isn't that the cry of so many people's lives? They just want to know what this hope is. And so can you do me a favor? Can you kind of, if you will, tell me what the thread of addictions is and the thread of recovery is? So if you will, can we take those two apart? Is there a common thread of addiction that you've witnessed over these years? You are an unwitting and unwilling one that has become much of an authority on addiction. And that wasn't your line of work right before, but you've become, so you understand the threads here. What is the common thread of addiction, if you will?
I'm going to try to answer that with one word, and I believe this with all my heart. It's the word trauma. Addiction comes out of trauma. And how many faces does trauma have? You and I could spend the rest of our time together and go through the evening listing those.
Because can I just say that you came out of serving in the military?
Yes.
There's trauma. And I don't care what it looks like. There's trauma. Okay.
Yes.
People in homes that are dysfunctional, there's trauma. And so, like you said, we could spend just naming all the trauma, but I appreciate you narrowing it down, because our listeners then right now can say, this is where it began in my life. And addictions take on many different faces as well.
Of course.
Let's please not ever limit it to just a drug addiction, because there's workaholics, and those are addictions as well, and they come out of trauma. So I love that sometimes I feel guilty, because the people sit there and they probably think, oh, Keith staged that one. That one was not staged, dude. That was just right out of your heart. And I appreciate that so much. So if this thread of addictions is trauma, is there a thread to recovery? And you don't have to say it in one word, okay? But is there a thread also for recovery?
Many think that the opposite of addiction is sobriety, but that's not the case in my mind. I think the nearest I can come to labeling a thread would be to say that it's communication and community. To where we are together, we feel respect, we feel love, we get to love others, we get to share all of that.
I love this word community. In fact, one individual, I believe, referred to her community now as her adoptive family.
One of our groups calls it a bonus family.
Okay, that was thank you. That was the term. And one of the groups that says it's their bonus family.
They've got it on their sweatshirts, their t-shirts, and everything they own. That's a chapter that meets in Bern, Indiana.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yes.
And that came from a lady who said, I have my blood family, but during her struggles and everything that goes with the addiction, she came to recognize she has a bonus family there in that chapter.
And, you know, that is not to deny your birth family.
No.
And thank you for that expression on your face, Randy. No, it's not. Because some people think that there's a severing or there has to be something that drags you. No, it's just that. It's a bonus family. And so we have real community that is born in recovery. Is that what I'm hearing you
say? Yes. I'll go with that.
Okay.
It might be a good time right here to share a prayer that Brianna had written that was found by her mother 3 days before her body was found.
Wow.
In Brianna's personal belongings. And we call this our foundational statement.
Wow.
Now, again, folks, this is Brianna's words and her handwriting. Please, Lord, look after me and my family. Please help me to do the right thing and to show people that I'm not a bad person inside or out. And help me, Lord, to get through this disappointment again. And know I make mistakes, but who doesn't? I don't do it to do wrong. I do it because I feel I have no other choice. I want a better life, Lord, I do. Please help me. Do to me as what you feel is best. I surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe those last couple of lines are powerful.
They are.
Whether we're in addiction or we've never even seen a drug, those words matter.
And in fact, you know, the ministry is called A Better Life, Brianna's Hope. And that is so beautiful because that was her cry.
That came out of that prayer, that title. Came out of that prayer right there. She named the organization long before we knew it was going to be. Yes. And after her passing, we celebrated that. Yes. Absolutely.
What the enemy meant for evil and the destruction of a life was actually reborn, rebirthed, and given expression in Brianna's prayer. Nobody else's words.
Yep.
Her prayer.
Yeah, and we've been able to send over 2,000 people to recovery as a result of all of that. We've spoken to over 30,000 students, grades K to 12, and shared our stories, much like you're talking here. We've got over 1,100, probably near 1,200 or 1,300 individuals who attend our meeting weekly throughout the state in Western Ohio. So the impact... You know, people said, did you ever dream of getting this big? And of course not. I didn't even know if there'd be a second meeting.
Yeah,
I knew there'd be a first. Yeah.
But I planned one.
Yeah. And so, what God's done has been remarkable. And we're just tickled to be a part of it.
You know, the thing that I see in your spirit is you are indomitable. You are like that bulldog that just will not let go. And so I'm not going to say succumb to anything else. I just want you to be focused on this because this is a calling. And, you know, we have a lot of different things. And one of the things that surprised me is that I needed a purpose in retirement. And when I realized I bought an 8-in tractor to restore. I started baking bread and sourdough bread, and I started all these things. But when I realized that there was a purpose, that's when we grab a hold of it. We recognize purpose in some people's parlance would be called a calling. You know, it's when you recognize this is what I was born for. And you know what? I just think about 30 years of ministry was just a training ground for you.
I believe that.
It was just training. And you found your calling now. And it's so beautiful. And let me take this just one step further because you have not all these people, just the people. But when I talk about an indomitable spirit, it's this. Because I've dealt with addiction in individuals, even within my own family. And I had a brother who was addicted from the time he was 14 years old until the time he passed just a few years ago. And, but his addictions would flow in and out. And it is tempting to give up on people. It is tempting to say, they did it again. They did it again. I heard you interviewing a person a while back And they recounted three different lapses. And your voice never changed because you were just, there was just one more step for her to take, one more opportunity. And she was finding strength in the journey, and she had marked a date on the calendar again. But you know what? She was finding victory. And I just love that about who you are and what you're wound for.
I appreciate that. My attitude is this. People are going to fail you as much as we're going to fail them. But the idea is give up on them when Jesus does. Oh, you have permission. If he quits on him, you can quit.
You know, that whole time he was encountering Peter, and Peter's having this argument with Jesus. And, well, you tell me, Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive him? You know, he gave him a figure because it was an insurmountable figure. You know, he wasn't naming him so you could keep track of him on a tally sheet. Exactly. He said, once you get to that level, that's when I would give up on him. He doesn't give up. Yeah. Randy, I want to thank you. There's a couple of things we want to mention, okay, because there's a couple of very important things. We need to call attention to the podcast and the ministries, because how can they find a place? Because we're speaking to people who are wrestling with addictions. How can they find a place for them to find hope?
Let me give some quick ways to help make that happen. Our website is ablbh.org, the initials of A Better Life, Brianna's Hope. Our podcast is Faith in Your Recovery. You can reach that at podcast@ablbh.org. Easily get a hold of them. We've got books available. That's at recoveryconversations.org. And, you know, I'm sure we've got a chapter near you.
That's right.
And we'd love to be able to be a part of your life and help you out and walk this journey with you. We're not going to work on you. We're going to work with you. We believe that together we can make a difference. And we've seen it happen. We welcome any invite to be a part of your life.
You know, one of the things we're tailoring the long-term life of Story Mosaics around is we're going to be doing some topical series here on how we approach some things and how people tell their stories. And so this is wonderful to hear it, but it's really kind of a setting the plate for what will come later as we deal with some of the things that people tell in their own words, their own stories. And so we're so excited about that. I want to just make sure, Eric, were we able to get those spots up? Great. Our engineer found a way to grab those and put those on the podcast as well. And then let me give them a couple of other places in case they are still looking, since they found Story Mosaics here. You can go out to our website, which is Story Mosaics. That's all one word, and make sure you put the S on mosaics, storymosaics.com, and you can find us there, and you can find this podcast there. And then you can also email me personally and email the ministry that we have through Story Mosaics at story.mosaics1@gmail.com, and that'll give you an opportunity to plug in there. And then we want to hear people's stories. We want to hear their stories, because there's no greater hope. No greater hope than the hope of someone who has walked the walk, talked the talk, and found a place where God met them on the road and walked the rest of the distance with them. You know, where he said, you know, the open arms were there, and he said, welcome home. So thanks, Randy, for joining us on this day. And thanks for this time we can spend together, man. We're going to have coffee sometime just so we can just chat, because I love our time together.
Well, I'll have to have Diet Dr. Pepper. I'm not into coffee, but we can still do it.
Okay.
All right.
Take care. Thanks for joining us on Story Mosaics today.